You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God, as you're seated, open your Bible at Galatians chapter 3. Now, in the mornings, we have been looking at understanding the faith of Abraham. And it is a vital, vital message. It really, really is important. I cannot stress how important that message is, because Hebrews 11 verse 6 is very plain. It says, without faith, it is really difficult to please God. God would prefer it if you used faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible. Amen. Isn't that amazing? The God where all things are possible, you can say nothing is impossible, yet there is one thing that is impossible. That means faith is the most critical message we could possibly have. So it's vitally important that you have that foundation. So I'm going to be speaking tonight off that foundation, but tonight I want to really make it into a practical application for what we're going to do in order to live that life by faith. Sometimes in the mornings I will say things, teach certain things, but how do you understand if you're focusing on one thing? I would like to preach from Genesis to Revelation in every message. Always amazes me. Whenever I teach the Word of God, someone comes and says, but you didn't say this. Yeah, I had, you know, how long do you want to sit here? Yeah, because I can get to that. But I want to always go with what the Lord is saying is important for a particular moment. And so I want to speak today on the meditation of faith. The meditation. Everybody say meditation. Galatians 3, verse 5, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. How many of you want to see miracles? Notice he says, yeah, he works miracles among you. Not just the apostles that did the miracles. Paul is saying, yeah, that the miracles were working in the church all the time. But how does he do it? He does it by the hearing of faith. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So we understand that miracles happen based on the hearing of faith. Say that. Miracles happen based on the hearing of faith. And he describes, it's because just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, remember this morning we found out that that believing is based on the knowledge that when God has said something, you can believe that and speak the way God speaks. That's clarified through the Word of God. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Come down to verse 9, those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 11, no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall? So this is something that you and I need to be doing every day. Just the same way your physical body lives by nutrition and oxygen. You cut any of those out, you realize your body's not going to last very long. And how often should you breathe? I would recommend 24 hours every day. You don't take a day off from breathing. So if the just shall live by faith, this is a daily experience, not something we do when we are in trouble. We live this way all the time. So notice he says, yeah, the miracles happen by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Now, here's the thing. I've heard people say, you know, well, the day of miracles is over. Well, the problem is that we can receive nothing from God until we believe it. Even Jesus did that. The Bible says that, I mean, you look at Jesus every time he ever prayed for somebody, they were healed. Isn't that right? Even people that he didn't even go to. They came up behind him. You heard just now about the woman with the issue of blood. She just comes up and she grabs his hem. And the moment she says, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. And she does that. And Jesus wasn't even involved. He didn't say, this is what I'm saying and this is what I'm going to do. And if it's the will of the Father and let me put my hands on you. He turns out, who touched me? And then she explained what happened. And after explaining it, he said, Because you did that, by your faith, you've been healed. Are you with me? So people were healed regularly like that. The guy that needed eyesight, we looked at that last time, he's calling Son of David, Son of David. There's that expectation of faith. It's that consistency. It's that stick with it and don't give up and persistence. And eventually Jesus, bring him here. And then he asked him, what do you want? See, there has to be that expectancy. And he says, Lord, that I can see. Then his next question, do you believe that? Do you believe I'm able to do that? And he said, yes, I do. He says, now, according to your faith, let it be done. Why would he do that? Because there was one time where we saw in the Word when he went to his hometown. The Bible says there he could do no mighty miracles except heal just a few minor ailments. And the Word is very clear why. It says because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. So if someone's not expecting miracles, it's not going to happen. It's not like God's going to throw a miracle at you even if you don't believe it. There has to be an expectation. I said there has to be an expectation. I said there has to be an expectation. You have to live with that expectation. That if God is a God of miracles, I'm going to see miracles. If God heals, I'm going to see healing. If God provides, I'm going to see provision. There's an expectation. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Say this, faith speaks. And then he says, do not say in your heart. So obviously it begins with what you doesn't say, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? So in other words, we don't say, God, if you show me a miracle, then I will believe. If you show me an angel, then I know you exist. Jesus, if you would just show up to me in a dream, then I can believe you. That faith doesn't do that. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, how many of you might have gone to church all your life? I know I was brought up in a, you might say, a Christian home. My mom made sure we were always in Sunday school and then later, you know, big church, and you know, you kind of grew up hearing all the stories in the Bible. But how many of you just woke up one day and looked in the mirror and you were saved? Look at that. I better find a church. Here I am, all saved, and I haven't even been to church yet. Did that happen? No, somebody had to tell you about the Word. You didn't just wake up saying, you know what, I believe I'm going to call Jesus Lord. No, you had to hear that. I had to hear. No matter what I believed, I could believe there's a God. Even the devil believes, and you know the devil's, I mean, his case is closed. Isn't that right? And the Bible says he believes, yet he trembles. So just the belief alone is not what saves us. And some, I had to hear someone explain, you need to not only believe with your heart, but confess with your mouth. And if you confess it and you say Jesus is Lord, then you are saved based on the scripture. There's the scripture, read it out loud, showed you from the word, and on that basis, you believed, and therefore you spoke. And in believing and speaking, what happened? Exactly what the scripture said, you were saved. And he goes on and says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's why the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on them the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, whoever. Okay, now, whoever's here, put your hand up. Now, how do you know if there was somebody that wasn't saved and they put their hand up, they're part of the whoever's. So God's not excluding anybody here. He's thrown the door wide open. And whoever chooses to believe that after hearing it and confesses, the Bible says they'll be saved. In the morning, we found out that that is the word sozo. And in sozo, it's not just your spiritual salvation. It includes healing, deliverance, provision, everything else you need in your life that God has given as a promise. But you notice the same principle applies for that salvation to take place is first believing it. And when you believe it, then it takes the confession. And only when you confess what you believe is it activated. Then you are sozoed. That's not really a word, but you know what I mean. So it's the sozo happens in that arena that you believe and speak. So it stands to reason you can believe God in one area, but doubt He's able to do something in this area. And you will see the manifestation here, but never see the manifestation there. And that's where sometimes people find contradiction. And there's no contradiction there. I'm going to choose to believe God even if I don't see a result. If God says that this is what's going to happen, if you do that, I will do it based on His word. And even if I don't see the result. See, that's where people that are critical of the faith message say, look at these people. I mean, you know, they confess the word and yet they still got these problems. So obviously it doesn't work. How many of you know that there are various reasons why sometimes things don't work? Have you ever been to a doctor and they want it just in the natural? You might say, I've got a pain somewhere. What do? They start asking questions. Isn't that right? When did the pain start? What have you eaten? What have you done? Isn't that right? Excuse me. Is it my fault? No. There's something caused it. Are you with me? Maybe it's something lacking in your diet. Maybe you bent over the wrong way, picked up something heavy. Maybe, are you with me? And what do? We're starting to eliminate things that could have caused the problem until eventually you say, okay, here's what we need to treat. So the same way when it comes to faith, how many of you know none of us are perfect? None of us walk at the level Jesus walked at. Isn't that right? That's why if He prayed and He said something, it worked immediately because He operated in faith in a realm. He's the Word and He understands the Word and He knows the Word. That's Jesus. But He said, you would do the same works I do and greater. Did He say that? And the Word of God is very clear that when you take the Word of faith and you apply it, certain things will happen. But there are so many things that can get in the way. So many. And it's not always your fault. Sometimes it's just the enemy attacking. It could be somebody else causing the problem. But how many of you know sometimes it can be my fault? I could be disobeying God in this area, and that's short-circuiting it. I could be doubting God. I could say, hallelujah, I believe, but, you know, I'm not sure. Are you with me? How many of you believe it is possible, even to those people that don't think miracles happen today, but you know, if God stepped in, if Jesus was here, is it possible that someone without an arm could grow an arm? Yes. Do you think that is possible? All right, so yes, someone without an arm, and I'm praying for them for that arm to grow. But in the back of my mind, I might think, no. Are you with me? Already, I'm hindering that. Just by my mind not being able to go there, even though if you ask me, I'll say, yeah, I believe it is possible. Yeah. Are you with me? So there's so many things. But what about the person? Do they believe their arm can grow? So it's not all on them. It's not all on the prayer. It's not all on the, are you with me? There's too many variables to say, well, there didn't work, so therefore the message can't be true. No, we still have to go with the Word of God is true, whether I see the manifestation or not. Can I get a bigger amen? That's a decision we have to make, is I am not determining the truth of this Word based on what my circumstances reveal and show. Very important to see that. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Since we have the same Spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. Not I saw, and therefore I spoke. Say this, the spirit of faith is when I believe, then I speak. Speak what? Well, what you believe. Speak what you believe. Now, that is the vital key. Because if someone says, praise God, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And then in the next breath, say, man, I'm so sick. So which one are you? Because as you believe, you speak. So if someone says, I'm so sick today, well, that's what you believe then. That contradicts what the Word says. Now, I understand that because we are conditioned by society. Have you noticed how just general speech, you know, you have what you call figure of speech. People use things like, I've told you a million times. We really want to make the point. Now I go, a million times? Really? That's a lot of talking, man. Meanwhile, they only said it 20 times. Are you with me? And then you say, praise God, I'm believing for a million rand. And Adrian says, well, 20 will do it. Because he calls 20 a million. My feet are killing me. I was tickled to death. I'm dying to go to Mauritius. You want to be dead when you get there. Isn't that right? Can you see how our speech has been programmed? And then we wonder why things keep breaking. Man, my mind was blown. You don't want to have Alzheimer's too soon. Are you with me? I was blown away. And then some storm comes through and there goes their roof and their house. You seeing what I'm saying? The enemy's listening, man. He will use just as quick as what you trusting God for something. He's looking for any gap to get in there. And he knows that this is a word-based system. So what will happen now? I've got all the stuff that just comes out of me. I don't even think about it. It just floods out of me. Well, it's based on this concept. Yeah, the Bible says in Luke 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the? What does that mean? What's down there in the most? That's what's going to come out your mouth. That's what the Bible says. So just take it for granted that that's the truth. Because it's written. It is written. Amen. Now, before you were born again, me too. Whenever I say you, people are like, oh, just me. No, no. Let's say, before we were born again, would you call yourself good? Before you were born again. Jesus said there's none good. Our good deeds are as a filthy rag. You're not going to impress God with you being good. Isn't that right? I'd put it so far. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, any person, all of us, if we haven't received Jesus, our Lord and Savior, if you died, would you go to hell? See, now people are nervous of answering. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you died in that state, would you go to hell? Yes. There's no good people in hell. Isn't that right? There's no, see, what we determine good is not based on whether I'm good or not. Like, yes, a good boy. No. His heart's still evil. Until someone's born again, our heart is evil. That's why Jesus, when he spoke, because this was before the cross, he said, you being evil. He didn't qualify it. He said, all of you. You being evil. Your son asks for a fish. Will you give him a serpent? Isn't that right? And Jesus wasn't lying. It wasn't like there's one good person. You all evil except you, Peter. No. In the state of not being born again, we are evil. Okay, now it took me a long time to get there now. So, before we were saved, were we evil? You can say yes now. I'll just qualify. Okay. So therefore, whatever was in our heart was evil. Why? Because that's all we had deposited. Out of the evil treasure of our heart, we brought forth evil. That's why when things happen, we couldn't explain it. I'm trying to be good, yeah, and I don't understand why this goes wrong and that goes wrong, and this one hates me and that one fires me and this one doesn't work and then this investment crashes and I don't understand why I'm in all this debt all the time and I'm struggling and I'm battling. Why? Because it's what we're saying. It's what we're doing. It's how we're living. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart, this evil is coming out of us, and we can't explain it. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you love. But now, you're born again. And when you're born again and you're saved, what happens? The old man dies. The old man passes away. And what happens? You are born again in the image of God. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Now, would you call that person good? Yes. But not because of what I do, because of what he's done. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So there must be a good man. But I can only be that when I'm living for Christ. But you notice how, even though now we are saved, there's still this junk coming out of our mouths. Why? Because that treasure is still there. The treasure, what's been deposited over years, other than those that were born saved, the rest of us, you might have been 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Some people only get saved at 70 or 80. That's 80 years of evil programming that is now has to change. Been saying things for years and years and years. Every winter, my joints hurt and ache and pain. Watch, when the flu comes, I'll be the first to get it. These are things people's, isn't that right? Just let two or three people in the family get sick. Everyone gets sick? Y'all know there's a bug going around. This might be going around, but it ain't coming near me. Are you in it? I'm not going to accept that. Don't tell me stuff's going around. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how are we going to change that? Because we've got all these years of programming backed up. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be. What's that mean? This world has taught you to speak a certain way. This world has conditioned us to believe certain things are inevitable. This happens, that's going to happen. And if we understand that, then we're going to land up speaking just like the world speaks. Don't be conformed to this world. Johnny, don't climb up there, you're going to fall. Bang, he falls. See, I told you. Yeah, Daddy, you prophesied that. What am I supposed to say then? Well, you see, sometimes these things take a little longer because we want a short, are you with me? Want to use the shortcut. What we need to do is just take some time. Now, if you're concerned about the child really high, they got too high, that they've been, now, Johnny, just lock onto where you are now. It's time to come down. I don't want you to fall. Yes. Now, you're going to come back safely. Okay, now to do that, you're going to need to put your foot there, put your hand over there, put your foot over there, put your hand over there, and get up, and don't go up there again. Yeah. Yeah. See, that takes a little longer. Yeah. Less pain, less stress. Amen. So do not be conformed to this world. Why? Because this world is evil. And the way it speaks. So I need to change. But be, that's change. Be transformed. Be changed. It's time to change the way we think. How? By the renewing of the mind. Renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. I need to reprogram my mind. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how do I know the Word of God? The will of God. The will of God is His Word. Say that. The Word of God is His will. So if I'm going to be transformed and changed, it's going to begin with changing my mind, not my actions. You can change your actions. But like I said this morning, out of the abundance of the heart, under stress and pressure, you'll go back to what your mind thinks. You can program your actions. You can decide to do certain things. But until the mind is renewed, you'll always snap back to your thought process. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How many of you want your mind renewed to God's Word? See, now, first time you hear a scripture, you go, wow, is that in the Bible? Second time, I really would like that for me. Third time, I believe that is for me. Fourth time, that is me. Fifth time, are you with me? The more you hear it, what happens? More and more faith is coming. More and more faith. Now, this is a principle of the kingdom. It's not just the New Testament. You see in Joshua chapter 1, God had been speaking to Joshua. How many remember the children of Israel? Pastor Gary referred to it earlier on. When they came to the promised land the first time, Moses sent 12 spies in, and they came back. 10 of them had an evil report. What the Bible says. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth spoke. They said, the giants are in the land, and we are like grasshoppers in our sight. It didn't even say we're grasshoppers in their sight. They're like grasshoppers in our sight. In other words, the way we see it, we look like grasshoppers. Now, no one stopped the giant and said, Mr. Giant, can I ask you what I look like? And the giant says, now that you ask, you look like a grasshopper. Thank you. Now I can go tell Moses. No, they just decided they look like grasshoppers. And the Bible says that was an evil report. We can't do this. Yet God said, everywhere you put your foot, I've already given you. If you walk on it, it's yours. But when they saw the giant, their mindset was stuck. They couldn't go beyond that. They came back in fear out of the abundant heart. We can't do this. We're going to die there. These guys are huge, man. We look like grasshoppers. That's what we are grasshoppers. Now you've got to get rid of that grasshopper mentality. Because there's Joshua and Caleb saying, if God said it, we're well able to do this. We can go up there right now. Let's do it. And they shut them down. So they go land up in the walking around in the wilderness for 40 years because of that grasshopper mentality. Family of God, I don't know about you. I'm done with walking around in the wilderness. I want to get into God's promised land. If He has given me a promise, I want to walk in that. How many of you say amen to that? And so that generation dies off. They come back, and the same Joshua who went in there with Caleb and said, we're able to do this. They're the only two from the original generation that are still alive. The rest are all gone, dead in the desert. We've got this whole new bunch of young people, and they're now at the brink. And Moses was not allowed to go in because he misrepresented God. He died as well in the wilderness and just outside. And then God says to Joshua, you are now the man to take these people in. Now, you must understand, this Joshua's got a huge shoes to fill. This is a man who parted the Red Sea, caused manna to come from heaven, spoke to a rock, water came out of it. I mean, he went up on the fiery mountain right into the face of God, had the anointing on him glowing. And God says to Joshua, now you're taking over. And you understand that Joshua is going to have to fight some giants himself. It's not like he goes in now and the giants are all gone. No, they're still waiting. Same giants that he saw before. And God gives him vital instruction in verse 8. This book of the law, everybody say the word of God, shall not depart from your. God tells him there's some speaking to happen. It's not just me telling you you're able. You need to take what I've given you and you need to start speaking it. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Now notice, you shall meditate in it day and night. Not just once a day, once a week. This is a living by. The just shall live by faith. Meditate in it day and night. Which day? Sunday. Any day with the word day in it. Meditate in it. This is every day. Meditate in it day and night. Then observe to faith without works is dead. There is an activation that has to happen. Notice speaking, meditating, action. Speaking, meditation, action. Speaking, meditation, action. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. How many of you want to prosper in everything? Make your way, everything you do prosper. Everywhere? How many want to have good success? Yeah, get all the hands go up. Now don't put your hands up. I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many of us take this word and day and night meditate it, speak it, and put it to action? See, we want the result, but God's very clear. There's something for us to do. I wonder how many Christians actually do the A part. I just don't understand why they always blessed. Well, what did you do this morning? Did you have the word out? Have you got your promises in front of you? Did you meditate that promise? Did you speak that promise? Did you take what the promise is and turn it, Lord, what do I need to do today towards this promise? Yeah, with wisdom, God says, yeah, you need to visit. Yeah, I need you to go call this one. I need you to go and apply over there. Every day. Oh, and night. So you might have done it this morning. Did you do it tonight? Oh, it's getting quiet in here now. Didn't he say that? So am I criticizing anybody? Or am I just simply saying, could it be I'm not seeing the results because I haven't applied this properly? See, only when you've done everything, then we can say, okay, then maybe God's fault. But how do you know God's never wrong? Does he say he supplies all your need? Did he say he heals all your disease? Is that the promises? Well, then, here's your answer. We need to understand these are very important. So when we say meditate the word, what does that mean? What does meditate the word mean? Because here's the thing, you know, some people, they are in such a rush, they got to get to work, you know, and then as they go out, they quickly grab the quick brood for the liver. How do you remember those little card boxes and it's got a verse? This is my verse for the day, hallelujah. Well, that's like saying the just shall live by faith. It's like, you know, I'm going out for the day, let me grab a cracker, and that's my food for the day. Can you live on a cracker every morning? So that's what there's nothing wrong. I'm not criticizing brood for the liver because that's some people, that's the only food they get. They need to thank God for that box. Amen. But we need to go deeper than this. It's the meditation. Meditation. And that's where the enemy has tried to use that concept and bring in a counterfeit. Meditation is not just sitting there with your legs crossed, pointing your fingers and going, and empty your mind. An empty meditation. No, it's not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind. Meditation is filling your mind. It's taking the word and getting it inside of you. That word meditate in the Hebrew speaks of pondering on, talking, muttering, going over and over. It's taking a word. It's taking something that God has said to you. So he says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How do I meditate that? Let me see. Some of you say, I don't know how to meditate. Okay, let me ask you this. How have you ever worried about something? Ever worried? Let me see. How have you ever worried? You know how to meditate. See, worrying is taking something and playing it over you in your head. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And you know, if they say this, then I have to say that. And if they say this, then he calls me. And this, but if that goes wrong, oh, that's not going to happen. And well, what if? No, but I've been. What are you doing? Meditating, but in the wrong thing. And so your head's so full of this meditation, and then your boss calls you, and you break out in sweat. Oh my God, he's going to fire me! He's going to fire me! Meanwhile, he's actually called you to give you a promotion. But you walk in there, what? Before you fire me, I resign. And the boss goes, what's up with you? See, because this person's been listening to all the stupid stuff in the office. And so they created their own destruction. Are you with me? They meditated their way to losing the job. The boss says, well, I can't promote you. Now you resign. I'm not about to promote someone who wants to resign. Are you getting this? So what should we meditate on? Well, the word is very clear about it. It says, yeah. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are, read with me, whatever things are, of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things, things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of good report. So my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm going to meditate. Now I'm going to use this word in inverted commas. I'm going to worry about being prosperous. I'm going to worry myself into provision. I'm going to worry myself that God loves me so much. Are you with me? I'm using that because we all know what worry means. But it's a good part. I'm going to use the word meditate. What are you going to do? You're going to say, you know what? Yeah, the word says. I'm going to take that scripture. I'm going to use it every single day. While I'm waiting for this provision to manifest, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm going to pull that verse out, put it in front of me. I'm going to make sure I see it. I'm going to make sure I speak it. And now I'm going to worry myself so rich. My God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is my God. God, you my God. You are my God. I honor you. I worship you. I know you are love. I know you love me. You're a father. What father gives his son a scorpion, a snake? Not you. You give me good things. You flood my life with blessing. You have healed me. You have delivered you. You are my God. I don't need any man. No man will say he makes Abraham rich. No man. My boss can't make me rich. My neighbor can't make me rich. My spouse can't make me rich. My investments can't make me rich. My God supplies my need. My God supplies my need. My God, you're the one supplying. I don't care how you do it. Do it through my office. Do it through my company. Do it through my investments. I'm not holding you to anything. You are sovereign. You know how to get the impossible done. Hallelujah. I can walk outside and a dog drop R1 million in a bucket next to my head. I'm not limiting you in any way. My God supplies what? All my need. All my need. There's nothing I can name that you wouldn't meet. I believe every single need is fully met. My house is paid in full. My car's debt free. My kids are in school. School fees are paid a year in advance. They got all the uniforms, all their supply. Grocery cupboards always full. People keep giving me cash all the time. I never have to go to the ATM. I'm just always blessed. My every need, every time I need. If I need petrol, I've got money to go buy gas. No problem. Are you with me? Supply my, how many? All. What's all mean? See, I'm meditating it. What does all mean? I don't just say that to be funny. I'm saying, what does all mean? Means all. Anything left out of all? No. I'm meditating. All my need. How? According to his riches. His riches, not my bank account. His riches, not my Bitcoin. His riches, not my investments. His riches. His riches. Where? In glory. He's not limited by the recession. He's not limited by the inflation rate. He's not limited by anything that they try. They can put, you know, mortgage bond interest rate can go to 30%. That's not his riches. According to his riches, in glory, heaven determines my exchange rate. Hallelujah. Heaven, I don't care what the rand dollar does. I'm on heaven's exchange. His glory, how? By? Oh, that just took it right out of there. By Christ Jesus, by the anointed one, Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus, the one that does the impossible. What have I done now? I've just spent the last few minutes meditating, meditating, meditating. Now that's once. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I never get tired of it. And then when I'm done, I'll say, okay, well, praise God, Father, now I rest. It's done. It's settled. I consider it's done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What do? I go out that day in full expectation. I'm in full expectation. I don't have to decide how it's going to happen. All of a sudden, favor surrounds me. Suddenly I bump into someone in the coffee shop and they got a great idea. And I thought, well, praise God. That's exactly what I've been meditating on. I know how to make that happen. There's a job over here. They're looking for someone in this position. And you perfectly qualified for it. But they're doubling your salary. Are you with me? You've been meditating. But you go through the day. And maybe that day, nothing spectacular happens. What do you do that night? You start again. You get the same scripture. And you do exactly what I've just described again. And again. And again. And again. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow night, another night. And then Tuesday day. Tuesday night. And then Wednesday day. And Wednesday night. And Thursday day. And Thursday night. And Friday day and Friday night. And then Saturday and Saturday night. And then Sunday. Oh, again? Yeah. Until when? You just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. You're always going to have a need. Because one day that house is paid. But there's another need. I need to pay off your house. Come on. I'm going to be part of that. Are you with me? I want to bless someone with a car. Shame. Guy says, oh man, I'm struggling to get to work. What's the matter? keep missing the bus and the taxis. They're always out of line. You go, yeah, here's a car. But don't you need it? No, I got another two at home. Father, thank you. I know you. I can give all my cars away. I'll never be without a car. How do you live like that? Because I'm meditating day and night. Pain shows up. By stripes I've been healed. By His stripes. His stripes. He, Jesus. Jesus bore away the sickness. If He bore away the sickness, every disease, if He took the sickness, if He took the disease, well, if He took it, it's not mine. So why am I taking it back? My arthritis is hurting me. Who made it your arthritis? Since when did you put your name on that thing? No. Let the devil take it. It's gone. Jesus bore it away. I refuse to accept it. Are you with me? It's that continuous meditation. Continuous meditation. Speak the word day and night. Do what He says to do. Do what He says to do. Hallelujah. How much longer do you have? You want to, should I go through that again? Because I really want to emphasize it. Because I wonder how many Christians even do what I just described once. It's good notes. Hallelujah. I must remember that. I can tell my friend at work. No, this is not something to know. This is not just something to pass an exam with. It is a practical way of life. The just shall live by faith. And I don't want to hear from anybody that this stuff doesn't work until they've done what I've described. Can I get a bigger amen? Because we're not in a theological debate. We're not using our circumstances to determine. Because there are some things that I've stood in for years, but stayed consistent with what I've taught you now. And years later, it manifests. So the point is, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. It's that persistent faith, and that persistency is in the meditation. Amen. You're not trying to convince God to do it. You're filling yourself with abundance. Because then when the abundance is in there and the moment comes for that miracle to take place, what comes out of your mouth is what will ignite that thing. Hallelujah. Did this help someone tonight? Come on, let's give Jesus praise. Let's stand together. Come on, give Him glory. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, today I heard the word of God. That word brought faith to my heart. I am a believer, not a doubter. And as a hearer of God's word, I'm also a doer. I make a quality decision. From this day forward, I meditate the word day and night. I keep it on my lips. I speak the word every day. And I renew my mind to the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I take those things that are praiseworthy, those things that are noble, those things that are of good report, and I put them in my heart. And as I meditate these things, speak them, act upon them, I make my way prosperous and I have good success in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give Jesus praise. Hallelujah.